Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan. How are you, Kevin?
I'm all right, thanks, Mike.
Now, it's a lot quieter this week in here because the weather isn't as nice as it was last week. You might remember last week in the pub, it was a bit noisy. People kept coming and going, opening and fucking closing the door. And also the sound was a bit fucked up.
Yeah, was there a production issue with this?
There was
sound?
A production issue. We don't want to blame anybody, but it's Pooch's fault.
Pooch!
Pooch has owned up, right? He's owned up. He actually told us at the end that he thought he might have plugged it into the wrong site, which is easily done. But actually, there were only wankers who complained, right? The people who complained about it were basically wankers who said, why does it sound like all the other podcasts? Well, it doesn't sound like all the other fucking podcasts. It's not like all the other fucking podcasts.
Fucking right,
and some people quite like the idea that it's a bit fucking Wild West podcast.
I've never heard a podcast like this. But yeah, it sounded sort of rough, ready, and in the pub, and some people liked it.
Well, the thing is,
like to sound
if you're in the pub, that's what it sounds like when you're in the pub.
This is there's where no we record the like, fucking thought
you
police.
Know, Ramesh Ranganatha and fucking, you know, mate, have you got a nice place we can record the new podcast? Yeah. You know, maybe we can record it in a nice studio in the BBC.
What the fuck was that cunt on about, by the way? Fucking Roman Raganathan it's supposed to be part of his stand-up routine. There's this bemused audience sitting there while he gives them this fucking lecture. What you've got to do, you've got to respect women, and if anybody says anything that's inappropriate about it, you've got to go, mate, and they're waiting for the joke, and they don't fucking get it. Romesh, mate, shut the fuck up. Make a joke.
Have you seen the advert? The advert has got these guys sitting around watching television, presumably sport, because that's what guys do, right?
They all watch sport. You know what they like, mate.
And of course, the sexist pig is a white guy. Working class bloke, because of course they're the only ones that are misogynists in this fucking culture. Yep. Nothing to do with the guys down the mosque who don't like women very much either. So they wouldn't have dared to put some fucking imam in there, you know, saying you women go in the other room and make the fucking food, right? Which is what they would have done.
Imam.
Can you not do that? Fucking hell. Anyway, so it comes out that apparently some guy goes, oh, I could just fancy a nice spicy breast, because they're meant to be ordering food, chicken breast and all that. And they all go, mate, that's a bit sexist. It's fucking ridiculous.
Such a load of bollocks.
I'll
tell you what it does. It profoundly misunderstands young blokes.
Yeah.
You know, okay, it's a while since I've been a young bloke, but I know what they're like.
Yeah.
So what will happen if you get a group of friends and somebody says something about a girl's tits and makes some terrible sexist comment, and another one of them goes, mate, all the rest of them will take the piss out of the mate guy. Anyone who goes, mate, they'll go, oh, fuck off, you wanker.
Yeah.
Fuck off, Romesh, you twat.
Yeah.
You
exactly
preachy
right.
prick.
Well, do you know what was really interesting was this weekend, my daughter Emma was around and we were out for dinner on Monday night and she was at some music festival with a bunch of people. She was on a stag do, actually, but they always invite her because she's like one of the guys. And she was like, I can't believe how fucking woke everybody's become in Britain. She lives in fucking Dubai, right?
Yeah.
Where basically men are men, and women are women. They might all
they have
fucking,
a particular culture
yeah,
there, don't they?
Might, yeah, but I mean, you know, the women are all, well, the Brits who are there, you know, the women are all fucking pumped up. They've got fake tits, they've got fake lips, they've got fake eyelashes.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm on my way.
And they're all fucking very happy to be chatted up by men.
Mate, you said fake tits.
She said, you know, she was with these guys that she knows, and one of them that she knows quite well is apparently has got some sort of gypsy background or, you know, traveller background. And she was calling him Gypsy Blood. She's going, oh, Gypsy Blood. And
all
all these guys were going, you can't call him that. She says, oh, why not? He didn't fucking care. You know, he didn't give a shit.
Gypsy Blood.
But, you know, she was like, what's the fucking happened to Britain? And she's been living abroad for 5 years. She travels all around the place. You know, she's been in fucking Ukraine. She's been in Russia. She's been in fucking Israel. She's going, I've never seen anything like it. Well, what the fuck is happening?
It's becoming woke in Britain because everybody's too scared of their own shadow.
Yeah.
You know, wokery is the ruler, the lord of everything, which brings us to a bank that thinks that wokery is the greatest thing in the world, more important than anything else.
Wank
that
of
would
the week.
Be Coots and NatWest.
Oh, as we as we renamed it last week,
cunts,
yeah,
cunts bank. Mate.
Can you stop closing down accounts, mate?
It's just like I said to you this morning, mate. What's going on at NatWest and Coots? So they fucked up Nigel Farage's bank accounts, pretended...
I bet they're fucking sorry they did that.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I mean, talk about picking on the wrong fucking guy.
He's not going to give up until customer has quit that bank.
He's fucking going to
do not pick on Nigel. Here's the first rule of living in Britain. Don't fuck with Farage. He has... fucking ruined that bank, but it's their own fucking fault. Because, as I said to you earlier today...
They've literally walked right onto
the knife. What Dame Alison Rose and that bunch of bankers who run the NatWest and Coutts have done is they valued wokery, pathetic wokery, above good governance. So they thought it was more important that they said, oh, Nigel Farage doesn't align with our values and all that, rather than running the fucking bank properly.
I saw a clip of her this week, right, where she's apparently talking, doing some interview, and she says that one of her main core principles is to make sure that every NatWest bank branch in the country will have 100% recycled carpet.
Brilliant.
What?
Brilliant.
Okay then. So
brilliant.
That's definitely a real fucking
brilliant.
A real aim to have, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really that'll really benefit the customers. That'll bring the money rolling in. It'll make profits much better, won't it? By the way, have you ever seen Dame Alison Rose and the Witherspoons boss Tim Martin in the same fucking room?
She does look a bit like
him. He looks like it's a fucking twin.
Similar, yeah.
Twin.
They've got the same wig.
Yeah. So we're
and
the same.
Do something with your hair.
And bad luck for them. They got the same fucking face as well. So we're recording this literally the day after she thought, and NatWest thought that although she admitted that she discussed Nigel Farage's private, personal, confidential. Financial affairs with a BBC hack.
Yes.
They thought
Jack.
They thought they could get away with her. So, you know, she still has our full confidence. Any particular reason she still has your full confidence?
But hang on. What sort of idiot would see what she'd said, understand what she did, and say, don't worry, we've still got full confidence in her and she can stay in the job? She's broken the fucking law, by the looks of things.
Yeah.
She's probably broken the Data Protection Act. She's certainly broken the confidence of client confidentiality. And she's almost certainly broken a couple of European laws as well.
Yeah, interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that this is over yet by any stretch of the
imagination. Well, there could be legal ramifications for her. The police should get involved, I think.
I mean, if there was anybody left in the Metropolitan Police to actually do any investigation...
Well, no, they don't do anything at all.
They might get a call from somebody, you know.
Yeah, they're too busy not attending Just Stop Oil demonstrations.
But let me tell you something very interesting, though, and I mentioned this a bit earlier in the show to you today. Lizzie Cundy, right?
Oh, yeah.
The former footballer's
wife.
She was the original footballer's wife, you know, Jason Cundy's ex-wife. She does a lot of work at Talk TV. She put out a tweet, and this is inexplicable to me. I don't get it. And I saw it last night. At 19 minutes past 11, she puts out this tweet. Breaking news, NatWest is having a meeting right now, and Alison Rose is to step down tomorrow. With immediate effect.
So she broke the story.
She fucking did, as far as I know. Nobody else knew that.
That sounds early to me.
And I read it and thought, blimey. But thinking, knowing Lizzie as I do, I thought, well, she wouldn't write that if she didn't know. She must know somebody who was at the meeting, I guess. I don't know. But then, sure enough, at about 1:30, 2:00,
good for her.
As somebody said to me today, did they think if they put it out at 2 a.m., nobody would know the story. I mean, nobody, I suppose, would. What they have achieved is that it didn't make the morning papers. Because the morning
yeah,
papers
but I don't think they did that deliberately. I just think they're a bunch of absolute fuckwits.
They really are.
They thought they could get away with this. They thought they could say, yeah, she's made a serious error of judgment, but no reason for her to go. I mean, you're right,
Mike.
They've
all given away private privileged information about people's finances.
Point. See, at worst, and you're probably right, you know, there's an argument she's broken the bloody law. And yeah. I think that the boys in blue will be knocking on her door fairly soon. But without a shadow of doubt, what she has done, she's broken the most sacred code of banking. You do not discuss customers' personal financial details with anyone else. Not only did she discuss Farage's confidential private affairs with someone else, it was the fucking BBC's business editor. Right. That's outrageous.
I know.
Outrageous.
And also, she's been disingenuous at least twice, because when she put out the original apology on behalf of NatWest, she said that basically she certainly didn't reveal the fact that she was the leak. She didn't reveal the fact that she had told Simon Jack the fucking story.
Yeah.
But she also said that the belief that NatWest suddenly didn't like Nigel Farage because of his politics was untrue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She said that the committee that was the place that had found this out, like the Risk and Reputation Committee, had nothing to do with the views of Coutts. Well, sorry, it turns out she set up that committee. It turns out that she was the person that said they should do these kinds of checks on people. But she didn't say any of that. She just said that they were sorry that what had happened to Nigel Farage should never have happened.
This is what she did. She found herself sitting next to Simon Jack, the BBC business editor, at a charity dinner.
At a BBC charity dinner.
Yeah, and this is what she did. She lied to him.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, yeah, so you cancelled Nigel Farage's bank accounts because of his political views. No, absolutely not true. It was purely because he did not meet our financial threshold.
Yeah.
He used to, but now he doesn't. Mm. Well, Coutts don't have a financial threshold, so
and he should have known that.
So he's the business editor. He should have fucking known that. The reason he wrote that story. So she lied to him. In fairness to him, he should have checked it out, I suppose. But I suppose if you're getting it from the chief executive of the entire bank, it's not a bad source.
No, but the BBC did actually go back to the
They kept checking it out.
And they said, "This is what we're going to say. Is this all right with you?" So I presume from that they checked it with the press office.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So what she did, she lied to Jack in order to try to protect the reputation of the bank. She said, oh, no, we didn't do it. It was purely financial. That was a lie.
It was an accident.
That was a lie.
Yeah.
So she's not only breaking the code and possibly breaking the law by discussing Nigel Farage's personal finances with someone else. She's also telling a barefaced lie. Yeah.
But it also makes you wonder, doesn't it? If he hadn't said anything, we'd never know anything about this story because they weren't going to fucking reveal it.
Well, that's the fucking ultimate irony, isn't it? This story, to my amazement, I checked it out yesterday, is now 3 weeks old. It's 3 weeks since Nigel Farage stood up and said, they're cancelling my accounts.
And it took Jack from the BBC until, I think, 2 days ago
to finally
apologise.
Sorry, yeah.
And it took Keir Starmer 3 weeks to say anything.
Yeah, and what a
he finally made a comment on it, because they hate Farage so much that they can't see themselves as being aligned with him in any way, because somebody might think that I'm a fucking racist as well.
Yeah.
And Nigel is the nicest fucking guy. You know, he's a very smart cookie. You know, he may well have said
cleverer than the people at NatWest.
Well, he certainly is.
And Coutts.
But what he's not is a controversial figure who is unpleasant in any way, who's not racist in any way, he's not bigoted in any way. You know, he's had a very successful fucking career in business and in politics. And these fucking people detest him just because they want to stay in the European Union. It doesn't make any sense. They're completely deranged.
No.
They are fucking mad.
And what? Why?
They're all over every fucking piece of our establishment. It's everywhere. They're everywhere.
It's the wokeification of this country.
They're everywhere.
You know, people go, oh, it's going to be terrible if the Tories lose the next election and then Labour get in. I mean, who fucking cares? The Tories have been asleep at the wheel. They've stood there while these woke fuckers take the country over and impose upon us their ludicrous fucking woke nonsense. So if you go to Coutts, apparently, it's like stepping into a sort of rainbow fucking psychedelic acid trip. There's so many rainbow flags everywhere. And they issue all these statements, we stand for the LGBT plus community. We stand for the values. Why? Okay, fine. We all stand for, we all support the LGBT community. Why would I give a fuck whether or not a bank does? Why the fuck would I care about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do they feel the need to do this?
And I only want to put my money into a banking organisation that has a rainbow flag flying from the front door.
I know.
Give me the one that's got the best interest rate.
So this bank...
Or the one that wants to lend me the most money. I used to always have a fucking a wish that I would die in debt. I don't wish to leave any money to
you're
anybody.
You're on course.
Yeah, well, you know, it could happen. You know, I've told my kids they're getting no fucking money from me. They can inherit all the money they like from their auntie. My sister's got plenty of money and she hasn't got any kids, so they can have all hers.
Yeah.
But I'm giving them fuck all because I inherited nothing. My father died pretty much fucking penniless. We had to pay for his funeral. My mother's not going to leave me any money either. So fuck everybody else. Why should I leave them any money? It's good for their character not to inherit money. I think that's a bad thing. So I've always looked at banks as places where I would go from my student days to borrow money and just not pay it back. You know, fuck it. You know, that's the way I see banks, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want banks to come and tell me what I should be believing in, what I should be thinking, what I should be doing. Fuck off.
Yeah,
right? Your bankers, therefore, by absolute nuts of fucking logic, you are cunts.
Yeah, I know. I always looked at banks as places to rob.
Yeah.
My bank robbing activities took a real fucking dive during the COVID crisis. I kept leaping into banks, you know, wearing a mask, going, hand over all your cash. Fuck all. They didn't even look up. They just said, good for you. You're worried about COVID. We all are. Let's talk about Kevin Spacey as we record this sensational episode of The Thought Police. Mm. I've just come off doing a two-hour show centering...
All about Kevin Spacey,
because he's just been found not guilty of all 9 sexual assault charges against him. The same happened to him over in America a year or so ago. A court case against him was dropped. So the point is in 2017, when allegations about him first started appearing,
they
emerged, of course, in the slipstream of Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby.
Right.
So it was a Me Too situation. The Me Too lobby seized upon these allegations being made out against Kevin Spacey, and he was systematically cancelled.
He was.
So this is what you got to remember.
Wasn't there a case in Boston?
Yeah, I was just saying, it was in Nantucket.
Yeah.
And they dropped the case because it didn't amount to a hill of beans. Although,
but wasn't there another one in Boston as well, though, where, because I seem to remember some mother talking about her poor son.
Well, no, I think that was the one that went up to Nantucket.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And that case just collapsed.
Right.
It collapsed. This case here in Southwark Crown Court, he's found not guilty of all charges by a jury, 12 men and women, decent and true and all that. So he's innocent. Now, we're 5 years on from when he got cancelled.
Six years.
He was cancelled in 2017. Not a single allegation or accusation against him has ever been proved, despite the best efforts of legions of coppers on both sides of the Atlantic, two court cases, the best efforts of the legal systems of America and Britain. He remains that nothing has ever been proved. And yet, this is what's going to happen now. That fucker should be able to pick up the pieces of his life, return to Hollywood, and return to doing what he does best, being a brilliant actor, a stunning actor. But will he be able to do that? Will he fuck? Because he's been cancelled by the cancel culture woke cunts.
Yeah, and also the woke cunts will never accept the fact that actually... he's not been found guilty, because what they'll say is, well, of course he's guilty. There's no smoke without fire. Everybody knows what he's like. You know, he can't possibly let him near another film. He can't possibly let him near any young men. He's a terrible guy.
Well, the studios.
Guy. You know, all this bullshit that they come out with, because they're not interested in the truth.
We should all...
They're not interested in evidence. They're not interested in anything. All they care about is innuendo.
Finding
and
villains.
And somebody who's a bad
finding
guy
villains.
Must be a bad guy.
Finding
like
villains.
Nigel Farage is a bad guy to them.
Villains,
so he
yeah.
must be in the wrong.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin Spacey must be in the wrong.
That's a good point, Matt. They're
not interested.
The wokerati, the cancel culture fiends... they need their pantomime villains.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course Farage is one. Kevin Spacey became one. Sometimes, if you get convicted of these crimes. You just...
I am one.
Mike's one. Actually, you are in a way, but not in the same way. Well, me too.
But listen, you know what?
Me
you
too. Know, hashtag.
No, but, you know, but interesting you say that, because there is now a culture of naming someone as having done something on social media, right? And before you get a chance to say whether it's justified or whether you deny it, whatever it is, you know, it fucking, you know, it suddenly goes viral.
Yeah.
You know, and you're either a fucking sexual assaulter or you're a rapist or you're a bully or whatever it is you are. Yeah. They've already decided without any fucking evidence.
Well,
because they don't like your politics.
But I had Harvey Weinstein on, Harvey Proctor on my show today.
You don't want to confuse those two.
No, that's not fair. Harvey Proctor.
On either of them.
Who of course, was accused of being a sort of paedophile murderer. By that absurd, nonsensical idiot Carl Beach and that ridiculous Scotland Yard Operation Midland fiasco.
Yes.
You know, he was totally innocent of the charges. And I said to him, because I thought it would be like a good equivalence, what's it like to be accused of all of these heinous offences, these terrible crimes, and to see it gaining traction and people starting to think you fucking bastard,
and people that you know starting to think you might
what's it like when you to be in that position when you know you're totally innocent? And he came up with an astonishing reply. I thought he said you sit there for a while and then it takes your breath away.
And he said
the feeling of powerlessness is overwhelming. Yeah. So once these fucking bastards from cancel culture city and these woke, evil, nasty little shits get hold of you, it is their mission to destroy your life. They enjoy that. That's what they tried to do, what they successfully did to Kevin Spacey, what they tried to do to Harvey Proctor, is what they will try to do to anyone that they can see a slight scintilla of a chance they might be able to trample to the ground, like Nigel Farage, whoever it is. They're fucking bastards.
Oh, I know. And when this all kind of finishes and the dust settles on the whole NatWest affair and maybe a few more people lose their jobs, I bet you somebody will try to come back at Nigel Farage as a result, because he has fucking destroyed very, very correctly the shit show that was Coutts Bank, the shit show that is NatWest. And I bet you they won't forgive him for that either. And they'll come back and try and get him on something else.
Yeah, I mean,
any fucking money.
This is a sort of all-out war between people like Farage and the new establishment.
I mean, people say there's no culture war. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, there fucking is.
There fucking well is.
And the new establishment, you know, the establishment don't read the Times or the Telegraph anymore. They read The Guardian.
Yeah.
The new establishment is the wokerati from the television industry, from the showbiz industry. And of course in politics, business just generally, there's this whole massive woke blob that think, be kind, we're so nice. They're not. They're fucking pieces
somebody
of
told
shit.
Me today,
they just
up,
want to destroy people's
somebody
lives.
Somebody told me today, coming up on the tube from London Bridge, coming up quite a big long escalator for all purposes of those people who know about the underground. All the way up, you know, the advert just said, be kind. All the way
I
up.
Say, no, I don't.
Fuck
yeah,
off.
I get the tune. Be you know? Kind. Yeah. Bollocks.
Yeah, fuck right
mate.
Off. Now, mate, is a good one. I got this from Ben Jones earlier this week. Thought I should read it out. Dear chaps, he says, thank you for another rib tickler. This was the last, so he didn't mind that the sound was shit. He said, by the way, I was at a pub. You might remember. Do you remember at the end, I said, what the fuck's going on in the pub? Everyone's lining up behind each other, right?
Yeah.
He said, by the way, I was at a pub in Isleworth, and I also noticed a queue going away from the bar with no one standing along it. But unlike some cunts, I still remember how to buy a drink. So I didn't queue and got served straight away.
This is weird, isn't it? I've been doing this a lot.
I think it's a movement.
Yeah,
it's a fucking movement, right? So you see a queue. It's all with full of people who don't know what the fucking pub is about, don't know what pub etiquette is, and are, generally speaking, I'm sorry about this, Pooch, bearded cunts who are fucking Remainers and basically fucking lefty champagne socialist twats who are the kind of people that would say, mate, is it my round?
If you've got a beard, you must be a cunt.
I'll just have a non-alcoholic lager, please. Fuck off.
Well, yeah, you know what you say about if you've got it's not fair to Pooch that, but it's an interesting point.
No, he's got a proper beard. I'm talking about
but he hasn't got a cunt's beard.
No, but there are people.
There are different types of beards. No, you know, exactly. There are acceptable beards, as in our.
Also, Pooch is very much not a cunt.
He's not a cunt. Thank you. He hasn't got a cunt beard. No, as a result, of not being a cunt, he doesn't have a cunt beard.
Now listen, just as well we haven't brought any of the old gratitude poncho.
Oh fucking
today,
hell!
Because we've got to talk about this. This is the latest bullshit coming out of the NHS. Look, I'm sorry we can't help you with your health. I'm sorry we can't let you see a doctor. I'm sorry we can't give you any kind of operation because basically we've ground to a fucking halt. But what we can do is give you a poncho to wear, which has got some nice things
gratitude
written on it.
Poncho.
So that people can know that you're a nice person. This is coming out of, what's it called?
NHS Foundation.
No, it's not. It's
Foundation NHS.
No,
it's Horizons. NHS Horizons.
NHS Horizons, yeah.
NHS Horizons. Fuck knows
which
what that
is. Which is some organisation that nobody fucking knows what they do, but it's something to do with team building.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Some old bag who runs it. She says, it's a fantastic idea. So it's like this paper bib that
people write on it.
NHS staff wear, and they walk around in it, and their colleagues write admiring messages about them on their gratitude.
Yes.
So it's like, you're fantastic.
Well, I said to him this morning, right? I said to him, imagine if we had these.
Spunk coming out.
If we had these, people would just be writing cunt, wanker on the back. You know?
Well, so of course, on our smash hit show, Mike and Kev on Talk TV this morning. Tune in every day, folks. 9:30 till 10.
Yeah, all right, calm down.
I made his own. Well, the girls in the office made me a gratitude poncho, and they wrote all these messages on it. And I said, it's a family show, so they wrote things like, oh, you know, ancient twat. No, they didn't say that. And they think things like, oh, Grecian 2000 dies, is it? All that crap. So it was fine, but I said, don't write what you really think, because it's a family show. It would be great, though, wouldn't it, to be in a hospital and somebody walks in with their and you write on it, I've always thought you're a total cunt.
Right. Well, how about...
And so does everybody else.
Well, how about you put on the back, kick me?
Yeah.
You know, that'd be fucking funny as well.
But they genuinely think this is the way forward. And the real thing about this, apart from its utter farcical absurdity, this is so symptomatic of NHS staff. They think that the whole nation admires them. I've got bad news for them there, but nobody admires NHS staff more than NHS staff. They fucking love each other, don't they?
And they also, there is this new kind of religion where not only do they love each other and they tell each other how great they are, but if you have anything to say about the NHS which isn't good, you're an evil, nasty, bigoted Tory, because all you want to do is privatise it. They can't accept the fact that none of it fucking works, that they're all, to one extent or another, probably overpaid. They don't work very hard. You know, most of them are off sick most of the fucking time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shambles. The whole fucking
NHS, envy of the world. Envy the third world. Maybe not even that. But this bollocks about, oh, you're great the way you deal with, oh, you're a marvellous worker. I mean, what, this is corporate narcissism gone mad. Mm. By the way, all you fuckers who work for the NHS, we don't really admire you that much. All this shit about, pots and pans, bang, 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 as you said, Mike. What were people applauding, nurses and doctors and fucking... Doing their job. Mm. Doing their fucking job.
Oh, yeah, but they were risking their lives, Kevin.
Fuck off. You know. Fuck off.
But most of them didn't die.
I've nothing else to say.
A few of them died, but you know, a few of them died, a few of us died, a few people died because COVID killed a few people.
Yeah.
But most of the people in the NHS did not die.
Yeah. Well, I don't particularly, you know, and there are some great, obviously, it is true. You get to the doctors and the nurses in the NHS that, you know, you probably go a long way to find better treatment. Once you get to the front line, getting through the bureaucracy, the madness of the NHS, there's your problem. So the NHS is no fucking good. It's hopeless. Mm. 7.5 million people waiting for an appointment. 7.5 million. That's like fucking a sixth of the country.
But it's also worse than that. It's worse than that because it's actually closer to 17 million because another 10 million on top of that lot who have had one operation but are now waiting for a second one. So actually, you are talking about a good fucking 30% of the population.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. I think that the people who work at the NHS, they can sense that people no longer would bang pots and pans at a floor. They can sense that we don't love them as much as we allegedly used to.
Yeah.
So they've reverted to loving themselves.
Yes.
Cunts.
And basically not mixing with any members of the public.
Yeah, because we don't want to.
No, sorry. Because the fucking junior doctor's going back on strike again.
Fuck it. You know, well, I know.
Because, you know, they're not happy with their lot.
Yeah.
If you don't like your job, fuck off and do something else.
But by the way, talking about...
You go drive a train.
Is a story that made me laugh, right? So the police today have revealed, they go, oh, just stop oil. It's disgrace. It's cost us over the past three months, £7.7 million to police their road-blocking demonstrations. Really? How come you don't turn up to fucking Just Stop Oil demonstrations? Have you ever seen a copper at a Just Stop Oil? Apart from like giving them pizzas and like shaking their hands, you never see them there. What are they fucking talking about?
I know. Have you ever seen those two twats from Just Stop Oil? You know, the two that climbed up the gantry at Dartford Crossing?
Yeah, jailbirds.
They were in court this week, apparently, trying to appeal their sentence. Because one of them,
turns out
to be from Germany, right?
Oh, yeah.
He says he was a bit surprised at how long he got. He wasn't expecting to get 3 years. I say, fucking bring it on, double it, right?
Yeah.
But now, Chris Packham, who appears to have gone a bit mad lately, has visited him in prison to see if he can stop him from being deported. Because it's not fair to deport him because all he was doing was trying to save the climate.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't know whether Chris Packham remembers Boris Becker, but he didn't fucking try and stop him deporting Boris Becker when he fucking turned up. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking unreal.
Absolutely.
So he's got these two characters. One's called Morgan Trowland and Marcus Decker, who's the German. They're basically trying to appeal the
sentence.
So it's
not Boris Decker?
It's not.
But hey, Marcus, fuck off home.
They got 2 years and 7 months.
Yeah.
And Daniel Friedman, KC, who's their lawyer, said that their jail terms were the longest ever handed down in a case of non-violent protest in this country in modern times. Yeah, but they keep saying they're not involved in violent protest because it's non-violent. But they were fucking... They stopped the traffic on the Dartford Crossing for about 3 days.
Yeah.
Which caused all sorts of mayhem because it's the only fucking place you can cross the river unless you want to actually go into London. There is no other place you can do it.
Yeah.
And it ruined people's lives, ruined people's businesses. Who the fuck do these people think they are?
Exactly. Yeah, fuck off home, Marcus. Nobody bloody cares.
Yeah.
By the way,
the Bundestag.
Yeah, off you go to Berlin. Enjoy yourself. Stop a few fucking German roads, you cunt.
Yeah. If the fucking German police don't give him a very soft ride. You see, there was some footage the other day of them pulling this guy's hand off the road. And he's going, oh, Scheiße! You know.
Achtung, even the dog! But my favourite organisation, hats off, salute. Just Stop Pissing Everyone
Off. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
they're great.
Good. Yeah.
And, so fucking Just Stop Oil, what I couldn't quite work out was that they had this sort of meeting, this gathering, and then the brilliant people from Just Stop Pissing Everyone Off turned up and fucked their meeting off.
Mm.
So it was in this massive sort of cloistered cathedral type
thing. What was that all about?
So the Just Stop Pissing Everyone Off could get put rape alarms onto helium booms, and they went up to the fucking ceiling like 50 foot high. That fucked up their meeting. To fairness to Just Stop Oil, they did say, we can't object, this was a non-violent protest.
Yeah, they say that, but they must have fucking hated it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the way to Just Stop Oil. Just Stop Pissing Everyone Off.
I think ridiculing them, I would say hosing them down would be a good method as well, and just chucking a load of shit at them. You know. Spray them with that shit.
That's a fucking great idea.
Throw some fucking soup over them. Yeah. You know, they don't mind throwing it on paintings. I would just throw shit on them.
Soup.
If you want to fucking, if you want to walk slowly, here's some fucking scotch broth, you little cunt. See how you fucking like that. Try and get the barley out of your hair.
Why is it that everybody in fucking Just Stop Oil, I mean, first of all, they're white. Climate change.
Very undiverse.
Climate change is not diverse. only white people seem to care about it. They're obviously middle class, but the thing that strikes me about Just Stop Oil is their average age is about 93. They're so fucking old.
Did you see?
Like, what do you care about the fucking climate? You're going to be fucking dead.
Did you see that mad granny at the weekend?
Yeah, you're the one crying about the fucking...
I've got my grandson coming today, and he's going to be all on his own. Well, he'll be with his granddad. He won't be all on his own, but, you know, I've been arrested for no reason. Well, don't fucking come to London and walk about, you stupid fucking old cow.
Worrying about my grandson, and he's got his little pond, and the fish in the pond, and the fish are all dying because it's so hot. No, they're not, you stupid old bat. Fuck's sake.
Well, it was funny how everybody reacted, though, wasn't it, on Twitter? People were going, fucking granddad's happy she's not coming back for a couple of nights.
Yeah, granddad, thank fuck for that. Well done, please. But you imagine her grandson standing by this little pond going, fuck me, my fish are boiling. The bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking like...
Somebody said he's probably poured some kind of fucking chemical in there just to fucking wind his granny up, killing all the fish.
Anyway, as we come towards the end of this blockbuster podcast, are you looking forward to the Thought Police annual holiday summer outing to Rhodes? I am.
Oh yeah, you're going there, aren't you?
And now I'm actually going to Corfu, but it is on fire.
I hope you're going to film yourself.
I fucking couldn't give a shit.
Can you please film yourself this time falling into the fucking marina? Because remember last time, you filmed everything apart from the bit where you fell in.
I was thinking about that.
When you didn't film the bit where you fell in.
Well, yeah, that's because that's what
we want to see.
She missed me.
That's what we want to see.
But this time I'll film myself like in front of a fire and then I'll fall into the fucking
fire. Yeah, good idea.
You know, just to part on this Rhodes issue as we speak. You know, all the fucking papers, all the telly, BBC, we're all going to die. These are unprecedented. For 2 points, 5 years ago, the Greek wildfires claimed the lives of 104 people. They were much worse 5 years ago. Secondly, the Foreign Office is not banning travel to Rhodes because most of the island is just fine. I'm sure like you, like me, Mike, I've had loads of people sending me on Twitter and stuff, pictures of them enjoying a lovely holiday on the beach in Rhodes. So the Foreign Office is saying, by all means, go. And all the business owners and the Rhodes tourist industry board are saying, for God's sake, please come. Don't deprive us of our income. This island is fine, apart from a narrow strip.
Yeah.
So what this has devolved down to, these perfectly normal wildfires in the Mediterranean district, is a bunch of TV cameramen and newspaper photographers going round trying to get good shots of flames, silhouettes, to make it look like this is indeed a vision of hell. It's fucking not.
No, it isn't. I would like to go to Greece for a holiday, unfortunately I can't afford it. But you go ahead and don't worry about me. Bring me back a nice bottle of fucking ouzo, man.
I will do. I'll bring you both bottles.
Yeah, okay. In the meantime, we're looking at a date at the end of August
to do a live show.
For those of you who enjoy,
I've got to check it out, though.
You've got to check it out, so I can't give the date yet.
Not sure when I'm getting back.
We're hopeful.
When I'm getting back from the inferno.
Yeah, if you don't get burnt to a crisp or, you know, suffer from Roads to hell. They haven't used that one yet, have they? We'll be doing it. So look out for an announcement on our Twitter page. And if you're a Patreon account holder, you'll obviously get priority. And it's just going to be in the pub. And it will be, when we record it, a sort of weekday evening in London. So
yes, it will.
Keep the end of August free. We'll give you some more information as soon as we get it. Meanwhile, Suitable Choices, our man, Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson.
Suitablechoices.co.uk is the place to go. He sponsors this podcast, of course. If you want to try and organise a mortgage, if you've got any fucking money left, he's the guy to talk to. Prices are coming down. You know, it's a good time to buy a house.
Yep.
We'll see you next week. And if you complain about the fucking sound again, you can fuck off.
Fuck you. Fuck you all.
Bollocks to you.
Bollocks.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com. Hyundai.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.